The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
The scripture reading today is Psalm 142. If you're using a Bible from the pew in front of you, you can join me on page 523. Psalm 142. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from persecutors, for they're too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Really grateful to have you with us. So Wednesday night, I was sitting in an airport waiting to come back from a cohort with a group of Acts 29 pastors. When I got the news, saw the news like everyone else, that Russia had invaded the Ukraine. For some reason, like in that moment, I just felt pretty heavy. And even now, like just thinking about the weightiness of these things that we are sort of experiencing in a sense from a distance. And so it's kind of hard in a way, isn't it? Like sometimes it doesn't feel quite real. Like we're seeing the brave and courageous men and women that is even exemplified in President Zelensky. And we sort of are taking that in, sort of like a movie. It's not quite real. It's real, but it's not quite real. And yet there's this sense of like our own vulnerability as we see vulnerable men, women, boys, and girls who are experiencing real turmoil this week. There's a weightiness this morning, and I can't help but think of the Lord's grace to us as we come to Psalm 142. On the one hand, like you may or may not know this, but we plan our teaching calendar about a year and a half in advance. Like we are completely planned out through the end of 2023 at this point. And so this passage, this text has been on the calendar for a long time. And we want to engage with what this text means for us very personally, because as we watch this conflict erupt before our very eyes in our world, we can't help but be reminded, I think, of our own sense of fragility and vulnerability. Like we want to engage with the Word of God, God's prayer book here in Psalm 142, in a way that we think of our vulnerability up close and personal. Not in a detached way, but really to see up close and personal when we feel vulnerable, when we feel fragile, when we feel a sense of weight upon us, that God's word is here as an ever-present comfort to us because it is the very word of God. I mean, that's what we see in this passage is really a glimpse of God's prayer book for us. That's what the Psalms are. In a way, we get to peer in on the prayers of God's people, learning how to engage with him in all kinds of moments. Like when things are going well, what does it look like for us to engage with the Lord? When things are hard, when life is heavy, when you feel weary, when you feel weak, when you feel fragile, when you feel vulnerable, what does it look like to turn to the Lord in those moments as well. And so that's what we want to do as we watch events unfold around us, as we see the machinations of evil men seeking to destroy and to conquer. What does it look like for us to turn to the Lord and be reminded of our own vulnerability and our own need of Him? And so this morning, as we look to Psalm 142, I hope that we'll see that we can be vulnerable with God in conversational relationship with Him. Like, that's been our desire this entire series, is like, what does it look like for us to commune with the living God? To have a real, deep, vital relationship with the Lord. That we might experience His comfort in times of need. And we might experience what it feels like to lean dependently upon Him. What it looks like for us to seek forgiveness from a God who is ever ready to extend His mercy and His grace to us. Those are the things that we've desired to see through this series. And so as we come to a conclusion this morning, I hope that we'll see that we can be vulnerable with our God. That we can sit with Him in those moments of need, in conversational relationship with Him. You see, we've been talking all throughout the series of God's presence among His people, with us, His people. And this morning, we see God's presence in our loneliness. Like, that's really the picture that we see here in these first few verses. But let's pick up at the very start of chapter 42. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. You see, part of what David is trying to help us see is that there's a way for us to bring lament, complaint before the Lord. That the people of God can live in such vulnerability with Him that we can even bring our lament, our complaint, our heavy grief to the Lord. We can identify it, we can name it, we can bring it into His presence. We can do that because it says He's merciful to us. Because of His mercy, we can come before Him with all of our needs, all of our vulnerabilities, and we can lay that lament at His feet. That complaint, David says, knowing that God is merciful to us. This past week, as I was at that cohort, I mean, it was a really great time to meet some guys and just to spend time getting to know them. And one of the activities that we did together was just walk through in about a 10-minute time span just our personal life and ministry stories. And in some ways, like, as I did that myself, we spent some time thinking through those stories and then sharing that with the group, and it was just a great way to get to know others. But as I started to think back on our story, I was just reminded of how difficult the last 5 years have been. I mean, just one thing after another, it feels. And I know, like, as I'm thinking about my own life, that's been the experience of so many of us. Over the last months, over the last years, there are many of us who feel as though this has just been a heavy season, a difficult season. And yet, simultaneously, looking back over the last several years, I've also been able to see God's grace in the midst of it. Like, one of those evidences of God's grace is really, as I started looking over these last several years, it's also coincided with this movement, this desire within me to lead us to explore what does it look like for us to walk in communion with God? And the seeds of that, the seeds of that study of God's word, they began in those days. And I can't help but think that the Lord has been preparing us It's been preparing me, my own heart, for these difficult seasons that we've had over the last number of years by reminding us that he is ever present and we can commune with him. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of trial, that we can walk with him. Why? Because of his mercy. And we can not only lament, bring our complaint to the Lord because of his mercy, but we can do that in his presence. Two times in verse 2, he reminds us that we can do this before the Lord, before him. I tell my trouble before him, reminding us that we get to walk in relationship with our God. And so in our moments of need, we don't stand off wondering if God sees us or cares, but rather we can enter into his presence and we can bring those needs, those complaints, those laments to the Lord. I mean, the reality is this. We're going to take our complaints somewhere, aren't we? I mean, you and I know this. We're going to take them somewhere. Somebody's going to hear about it. And what Psalm 42 is reminding us is, while there might be some health in some of those places that we take our complaint, the place that we need to turn instinctively is to our God. That laying our complaint at his feet is actually where comfort's going to be found. That we can come to him with our needs, with our complaints. And so we can be vulnerable with those needs. We can be vulnerable in those moments where we feel isolated and alone, he says. Look again at verse 4. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains for me. No one cares for my soul. Sometimes we're vulnerable because we're alone. But this is what I've experienced in my own life, is in moments of great sense of weakness, of vulnerability, of need, you can feel isolated and alone even when you're not. Like, there's something about carrying that weight and that burden, isn't there? That it's like other people just don't quite understand. They can't understand it. They're not in your skin. And so there can be these moments of great difficulty when we feel alone, even though maybe we're not. We feel the weight that we're carrying. And he says, even in those kinds of moments, this is what we have to remember, is God sees you and he cares. Like, that's the implication. You might feel alone, but the reality is this: God sees you and he cares. He's not far off. He's not distant. He comes near to the wounded, the brokenhearted, those who are in trouble and are in need. I mean, and I think this is what we see when we look back in retrospect. That's been my experience as I continue to reflect on the last number of years. What I see is God's presence, his care, his grace, and his mercy as we walk in relationship with him. And so there's this invitation then that we can turn to the Lord. That's what he says in verse 3. When my spirit faints within you, within me, you know my way. There's reason for us to have hope, to have confidence, to have trust, to have faith in our God. He knows our way. He sees you and he cares. We can be vulnerable with our God in conversational relationship with him. Not only is God's presence with us in that sense of loneliness, but God's presence is with us when we're low. Like he says that when When we cry out, when we are low, God's presence is near. Look again at verse 6. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors or my pursuers, for they are too strong for me. Like David is reminding us of his own circumstance. And while his circumstance is different than ours, I'm sure you can all identify a moment, a season in time when you felt low. When circumstances have been too much to carry. When relationships have been too hard. And the wounds of a friend have penetrated too deep. In those kinds of moments when we've felt low, we're to be reminded that the Lord is near. That he's present in those moments when we feel low. And again, I think we need to ask this question, like, where do we turn when we feel low? Because of circumstance, because of relationship, because of our own emotional and spiritual and mental health. Like when we have those moments of feeling low, where do we turn? I mean, most of it, if you're like me, often we're turning to distractions. Like, man, it's a lot easier to check the sports scores one more time so that I can just prolong thinking about this thing. Let's just watch another episode. Man, let's just, like, that auto start thing, like, that's so helpful when you're just trying to distract yourself in those times of feeling low. It can go worse, though, can't it? You can find yourself in a place of trying to numb those moments. Like, do you find yourself drinking too much in moments like that? Entertaining yourself by what you're taking in through the internet and your viewing? Do you find yourself trying to numb the pain? There are all kinds of things that we do, some healthy and some not so much. What is it for you? My wife is recognizing me, like when there are times, seasons of stress and those sorts of things that I tend to sleep a lot. Like, at all, I mean, I can sleep at the drop of a hat. Like, you give me a couple of seconds, I can fall asleep over here on the bench. Like, that's just normal, right? But I'm doing that often. Like, what is it? What does your body do when you feel those things? The invitation is to turn to the Lord, to remember the presence of the Lord in those kinds of moments. Verse 5, his second kind of call of faith, he says, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. Like, we need to remember God's presence in those moments, those seasons of being brought low. He says, the Lord is my refuge. He's reminding us that in the present moment, we have access to God. There may not be any other refuge out there, he says, but in the Lord, there is refuge to be found. He's giving us this picture, this glimpse, this language of communion, that we can walk with our God in the present, that we can experience comfort and help in our time of need. Like, you may not feel it right now in this moment, but what I've discovered is that as we walk with the Lord over time in this kind of way, it becomes more and more clear that God is a refuge in our times of need. But not only is he our refuge, he says he is our portion. He's giving us this language of inheritance. God is present with us in the here and now, but he's reminding us that there is a future. He is your portion. There's hope for your future. Your future is secure, and you can bring your future need to our God. And we can be vulnerable with our God in conversational relationship with him. Like, that's what I hope that we see. As we look to walk invulnerable conversational relationship with God, that we would see that He is a refuge, that He is a comfort, that He is ever present, right here, right now. Whatever you brought through those doors, our God is here to meet you in it. All throughout this passage, David punctuates it with a statement of faith. And there are three of them we've seen in verse 3, verse 5, and now look at verse 7. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. He's punctuating this lament, this complaint. He's bringing this heavy grief to God, but he's not doing so in such a way that he's turned his back on the Lord. He's doubting that the Lord can come through. No, this is what we have to understand. You can walk faithfully with our God, and you can lay down your complaint, your aggravations, your frustrations with our God. Like, he's big enough for that. But why? Like, why is it possible to come to the living God to bring complaint against him? How is that possible? It's possible because of Jesus. Like this picture, these words of confident faith, they're reminding us of why we can enter into God's presence. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. Like, he's made a way for us to enter into God's family. And so as children, we can come to our Father and we can complain. We can be frustrated. We can weep. We can mourn. We can be joy-filled. We can bring everything of who we are. We can be vulnerable with our God. I think it's important for us to remember the distinctions between transparency and vulnerability. It's possible to be transparent. What you see is what you get. But it's also possible to be transparent and to withhold kind of who you really are. Like to open up your heart in such a way that you let others in. Like, being vulnerable in that kind of way, it can lead to hurt, right? Like, it's not safe to be vulnerable with everyone. Like, we need to understand that. And when it doesn't feel safe to be vulnerable with others, the invitation here is to remember that we can be vulnerable with our God. Why? Because of what he's done for us in and through Jesus. Like, if there's ever a question, is our God safe to bring all that I am? All the mess of who I am. Is it really safe to bring that to our God? Remember that he did not withhold even his one and only son. That Jesus lived the life you and I were supposed to, but can't because of sin. He died a death in our place, making it possible for us to enter into the family. And if you're in the family, then you're a son or daughter of God. And if you're a son or daughter of God, that reality never changes. And so God, like he did with his own son, the Father, as he did with his own son at his baptism, he looks on you as his child, says, this is my son, this is my daughter with whom I am well pleased. And if that's the reality of who we are before our God, then what is it that we need to withhold from him? And the reminder is that we have been brought into a family to walk together in these kinds of seasons of difficulty, of trial, of hurt, of pain, of sorrow, and of joy. We were not intended to do this on our own, but we are invited to walk together. And so I think on the one hand, it begs the question of us, like, what will you do to become a safe presence for others? It's not safe to be vulnerable with everyone. You instinctively know that. I instinctively know that. But what might it look like for us to become the kinds of people that others can be vulnerable with? What might it look like for us to carry the burdens, the heavy weights for others? And if we would become that kind of community, I'm convinced that a watching world would take notice. In the world in which we find ourselves, where it's not safe to be vulnerable, it's not safe to be open, it's not safe to be real, what might it do for a watching world to see the people of God so convinced of God's grace and His mercy that they're living a different way? Showing others, showing our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, what it looks like to find real help when we're low. And again, we're reminded that those realities are possible because of what God has done in and through Jesus. And so that's why we take part in the Lord's Supper every week. Because we want to be reminded that we can be vulnerable with our God because He's given us Jesus. While it's not always safe to be vulnerable with others, it is always safe to be vulnerable with our God because He withheld nothing from us. And He has lavished His grace and His mercy and His kindness upon us. And so as we take part in the Lord's Supper, if you know Jesus, and this is an opportunity to worship Him, to remember what He's done for you. And the invitation, I think, this morning for us from God's Word is before we rush ahead to take part in the Lord's Supper, for us to think on the difficulties that we're experiencing right now. Like, let's not move too quickly. Let's not distract ourselves with the Lord's Supper. But let's like sit in this moment for a second. Let's bring our needs. Let's lay our complaints before the Lord. And then to come forward knowing that He's heard us. God sees you and He cares. And if there's any question about whether that reality is true, then all we need to do is look to Jesus. Be reminded of His grace and His mercy and His kindness to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. That in Your grace and kindness You've spoken to us by it. You have not left us to our own devices as we walk through tumultuous days, personally and on the world stage. We know that You see Your people, that You draw near to Your people, that You hold us fast in Christ. And so, Lord, would You help us to respond to You in faith and worship? Lord, for some, I pray that they would take that step, that very first step this morning, to trust You at Your word by faith, to turn their back on all of those old ways of life, to embrace You, to find new life in Jesus. And I pray for those of us who have been walking with You for some time that this would be a moment of renewal for us. That we would be reminded in a fresh way of Your grace and mercy and kindness as we take part in Your supper. Remind us of the lengths to which You went to bring us into Your family, Your Son's broken body and His shed blood. And as we take those in, we do so as an act of faith, receiving the gift that You've given to us this very morning in Christ. And we pray this by His name. Amen.